This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Yes, yes, so good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. Today, again, is all about MetroCon coming up in October 26th. If you want to know more about MetroCon, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. We'll tell you all about it. In the first half hour, we have Dr. Honley Wu. She's Assistant Professor of Pharmacological Sciences, Pharmaceutical Science, I should say, at UNT Systems College of Pharmacy. Fascinating. She's going to tell us and make us an authority on macular degeneration. You'll know everything there is to know. And we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our Fountain of Useless Information, and of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. All right, we have a real treat today. We have Dr. Honley Wu, Assistant Professor, Pharmaceutical Sciences, University of North Texas Systems College of Pharmacy. Welcome to the program, Dr. Wu.
Hello, everybody. Very nice to be able to get interviewed, and we're going to talk about vision today and your eyes today.
Yeah, I understand that the talk that you're going to give at the conference, the MetroCon conference, is titled Challenges and Opportunities in the Study of Age-Related Macular Degeneration, Development of a novel Mouse Model. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm totally in the dark. I know what macular degeneration is. Other than that, I am totally in the dark. So you're going to have to kind of bring me up to date. What is the substance, then, of what you're going to be presenting to the audience at the conference?
So basically speaking, let me start with what is called age-related macular degeneration. So basically, our eye is a very well-designed camera. Mm-hmm. And then the retina is pretty much as your film, and then to be able to make sure you can have a sharp vision. And in the center of this film, there is a structure that called the macula, where it can give you the sharpest vision. Unfortunately, some of the people may develop age-related macular degeneration, which means when people get older and the central part of the retina will be deteriorating and become lost the function. And in other words, people are going to lose their sharp vision. So basically, the people with AMD will have lost their sharp vision and may have some blur in the center of their vision, which may cause trouble with reading, driving, or even recognizing faces. So that is the biggest challenge and one of the most blind-leading diseases. And so currently, our researchers try to find a solution to cure the AMD. One of the challenges for AMD is that we do not have a good model. So my researchers focus on developing a new mouse model to study AMD so that we have a platform for drug discovery. So basically, this is what we're going to talk about in the conference.
Okay, so of course we know about cataracts and we know how those can be cured, but macular degeneration, there's really no cure for that right at the moment, is that right? So are you searching for a cure, or do you think there can be a cure, or is this just a way to alert people that what they have coming?
That's a very good question. Actually, for AMD treatment, we have a good news and a bad news.
Uh-huh.
For the good news is that for people who develop wet AMD, we have a cure right now.
Oh, really?
So what is the wet AMD? A wet AMD is called neovascularization of AMD, which means the patient has a lot of like irregular blood vessels formation, which called the leakage of the neovascularization, the blood vessels, and caused the AMD. So for those type of the disease, we have a treatment right now. So we can use a small peptide that is called VEGF antibody, which can stop the neovascularization, which means to stop the new blood vessels from formation. And for those patients, we have a fix for them. But the bad news is that for the dry AMD, we do not have any solution yet. So what is dry AMD? Basically, dry AMD means the patient have a lot of drusen, that unusual plaques formed under in the macula region, and they do not have any new blood or abnormal blood vessel formation. So for those type of the patient, they will have lost their function, but there is no cure for them. So that is the real challenge for now. So unfortunately, I have to tell you, 90% of the patients that develop dry AMD, which means 90% of the patients, they end up without very efficient or effective treatment. That is the biggest challenge. So our model right now, the model that I am going to present in the meeting, is a mouse model that developed dry AMD. So I think that is a very, very exciting animal model. And then this model has a one gene knockout. So we know this is the gene that caused the problem that may lead to the dry AMD formation. And I have another good news is that this gene actually is an enzyme, which is a druggable target. So our platform right now is that first we identify a drug target. Number two, we knock out or delete, wipe out this enzyme and see whether this mouse developed dry AMD. So down in the road, we want to manipulate this enzyme so that hopefully this can be a drug target and we can develop some peptide, or we can develop some small molecules that can upregulate this drug target so that hopefully we can treat the dry AMD.
So if I have dry MD, macular degeneration, that would maybe show up in my genes or something? So you could identify ahead of time that I'm going to be a candidate for dry MD because of my gene makeup?
Okay, so that's a very good question. Actually, it doesn't mean that it has to be one gene mutation or something. Currently, we cannot predict AMD. Any type of AMD, we cannot predict by running a gene screening or a test, unfortunately, because age-related macular degeneration is a multiple causes. And then there are so many reasons actually can lead to dry AMD or wet AMD. So it's very hard to predict. It's pretty much like a Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease in the eye. So there are multiple reasons behind that. So we cannot say one gene knockout or just like one reason will definitely lead to AMD. But we do have some of the cause links. For example, there is one thing that definitely we can do to prevent AMD is to quit smoking. That is probably one of the moving part that can change the story. So for those smokers, in order to have a sharp vision, to prevent AMD or even cataract, please stop smoking. Because during the smoking, it can generate lots and lots of bad chemicals that increase the free radicals. And then free radicals is definitely really bad for the overall health. So instead of like normal aging, part of the normal regime, we're going to generate a lot of free radicals, which are bad molecules. But while you're smoking, you're going to accelerate the free radicals, which means you're accelerating the aging. So that is the one of the suggestions that I can give today to prevent AMD.
Well, Okay, so the dry MD could be a result of a lot of different things that we do with our lives and can bring it on ourselves. And one of the things that you've isolated is smoking, which is a big aggravation and cause of dry MD. So people that are smoking have plenty of reasons to quit, and one is that they can go blind. So that's another thing to drive home. The wet MD we were talking about just a minute ago, did you say that you're treating that with antibiotics? Is it is it a microbe then?
Actually, it's not antibiotics, it's an antibody. So let me back up a little bit and tell you a little bit more information about neovascularization. So neovascularization is a big word, but it actually stands for new blood vessels formation. In order to our body to have new blood formation, our body needs to secrete a small molecule that is called VEGF, which means the vascular endothelial growth factor. And this factor can recruit the cells and form the blood vessels. So actually, this is the molecule that we're targeted on. So in order to prevent blood formation, blood vessels formation, we can have an antibody to capture the VEGF. And then without VEGF, our body will not have the new blood vessel formation. So problem solved.
Okay, so these antibodies, I'm so dumb about all this, but I always thought an antibody was something that was self-created inside our bodies itself, and antibiotics were given from the outside. But are you saying that you can introduce antibodies into the wet MD and then prevent the blindness from happening?
Yes.
Okay. Is that injected? What with a needle or something in the eye, or how do you do this?
Yes, actually, it's quite scary. Basically, what you said is absolutely right. It means needles in the eye.
Oh.
And then the medical doctor, the eye doctor, is going to inject the anti-VEGF antibody into the eye, so the antibody can capture the VEGF molecules and stop blood vessels. So that is a scary part, but the good news is that it doesn't hurt that much.
And it works, but you say it's scary, but there really is no risk to it, is there? The risk is very small, is that right?
Yeah, it's a small risk, but this is the only thing that we can offer for now. So like it or not like it, this is the only choice that we have.
Okay, and then dry MD would be change some of our activities that we do that hurt our bodies, and one of them is smoking. Can you give us an example of another one?
Another one is that try your best to keep fit and do not eat that much high-fat diet. That is the other thing.
No high-fat diet. Now, wait a minute. We're told all the time not to eat sugar, and that's really bad for us, but the fat isn't so bad for us. Is that wrong?
Right. So basically, you have to live a healthy lifestyle. So a lot of times we're heard from the medical doctors, they ask us to live a healthy lifestyle. Why is that? I can give you a specific reason in terms of like you're in the eye. It's because you have to eat healthy in order to control the cholesterol levels, and then the cholesterol level is proved to have the link with EMD as well, dry EMD as well.
So those of us that have low cholesterol level, now there's two cholesterol. There's the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol, HDL and LDL. But those of us who have the maybe high in the HDL, maybe low in the NDL, are we better off then for this, or does the cholesterol with both of those pose a threat?
When we talk about high cholesterol, it means bad guys, bad cholesterols. So it means that in order to have a better vision, we have to cut down the unhealthy stuff. For example, the bacons or the hamburgers, those can introduce a lot of high cholesterol, bad guys, into our body.
The LDL, the bad cholesterol, right?
Yes, the bad cholesterol.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
And on top of that, another thing that we have to bear in mind is that we should replace hamburgers or bacons with green or dark color fruit or vegetables, because those food can give you a lot of antioxidants.
Okay, but those of us who have a high level of HDL don't have the worry. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and you don't have to worry about the cholesterol, but instead you're going to have a lot of good food. For example, like a good important component in your body, for example, like antioxidants, it can help to fight against the free radicals that like I mentioned earlier. So that is the lifestyle we should definitely live. So quit burger, quit hamburgers, and quit bacon. But instead of that, we're going to eat a lot of like green-colored or dark-colored fruit or vegetables, and so that we can have some good antioxidants in our body to help fight against the free radicals.
So we're given so many reasons to eat healthy and to be healthy, and I mean, all the time we hear about, you know, cancer prevention and other things like this too. Now we're told that if we stay healthy, we also can keep ourselves from going blind with prematurely with our age.
Definitely.
Now, I have to ask you something else. The question's been going around in my mind here since we've been talking about all this. You've talked about the wet macular degeneration and the dry macular degeneration, and we can do something about the wet. We have trouble doing something about the dry other than to take better care of ourselves with our nutrition. But what's the percentage of both? In other words, when I went to my eye doctor and had cataracts removed, I used myself as an example.
Okay.
He looked in my eye and he says, "You've got a little macular degeneration coming." And I said, "Really?" I said, "What's causing that?" He says, "It's age related." And he says, "But it's, you know, it's kind of there." And okay. Otherwise, he just kind of dismissed it. So the two questions that I have is, one, apparently by looking in my eye, he could see the macular degeneration. Could he tell if it was a dry or a wet macular degeneration?
Well, I think your doctor definitely can tell you that by using the fundus camera. So basically, when he can observe if there is a neovascularization, if there are unusual blood vessels formation, and then that is wet AMD. And if they do not observe any neovascularization, and then it is dry AMD.
Okay, so he can tell by looking in the eye. That answers that question. Now then, what percentage of people worldwide, could you guess, have dry MD as opposed to wet MD?
So according to the literature right now, 90% of the patients developed dry MD. Only 10% of the patients got wet AMD.
Wow. So this is very important research that you're doing with your challenges and opportunities in the study of age-related macular degeneration. Do you hope to have any breakthroughs, or is that what you're a surprise you're saving for the conference?
So I think by using this animal models, we're trying to answer two questions. The first question is why some people develop dry AMD while others developed wet AMD. Because a lot of other animal models, they develop both. Some of the animals develop dry AMD, and some of the animals develop wet AMD. But in our model, 100% of the mouse develop dry AMD. So this is a very, very good start to help to answer why some of the people are dry, why some people are developed wet AMD, because our model can show you a done deal. 100% of them develop dry AMD. So we will use this mouse model as a start to tell the story why there is a dry and there is a wet.
Oh,
This is number one. Mm-hmm. This is number one. And number two, like I mentioned earlier, this is a one gene knockout model. So this is a very unique and it's very specific. And then when we wipe out this enzyme, we see dry AMD like symptoms in these mice, which means if they develop dry AMD, it's highly possible it's because of this specific enzyme knockout. And then down in the road, we can either use gene therapy to supplement this enzyme back, or we can use some small molecules to upregulate this enzyme so that hopefully we can prevent or treat dry AMD. That is what we're doing now.
That's the crux of the work, and that's what you're looking forward to have happening. Do you have a prediction for the future of when you might do this breakthrough, or is this just going to be a constant slog for the next 50 years?
I want to say that this is going to be a very promising work, but it's going to take some time. So that is my prediction, because when we talk about the drug discovery, it's not an easy job. So basically the platform, including number one, identify the drug target. Number two is to validate the drug target. Number three is to be able to come up with the molecule that can upregulate or downregulate this drug target. And number four is that you need to prove this pharmacologically, both in animal models as well as in humans. So it's going to be a long process. It is not only my research, it's pretty much all the research that for drug discovery. It's all going to be very challenging, a long process. But I think if we never start, we're going to end up with nothing. And if we have promising research going on, the hope is there.
Fascinating, Dr. Wu. What have we missed? What have I failed to ask you? What is it that you want to drive home to this conference that maybe we didn't bring up yet here at the interview?
Oh, definitely. I think I myself missed one important thing for the dry AMD patients. Mm-hmm. Even we have no cure for those dry AMD patients, but we have something that we can offer to slow the progression of dry AMD. So basically, if dry AMD or early dry AMD is identified, and then doctor will prescribe you with a cocktail of antioxidants like vitamin C, vitamin E, and then a lot of like antioxidants. And with that antioxidant, it cannot cure the disease, but it can definitely slow its progression.
So really any of us, when we don't even know if we're having macular degeneration, could start on this cocktail ahead of time, or is it only going to be prescribed by certain doctors under certain conditions?
I will say living a healthy lifestyle when you do not have any eye problems. When your doctor tells you to take the antioxidant, then you take it. Because we need to have the balance. If the cocktail that I talked about earlier, we're talking about large amount of the antioxidants. Because you don't want to mess up with the balance of your body if you do not have a problem. We don't want too much free radicals, and meanwhile we don't want too many antioxidants. So our body needs to maintain a balance. So my suggestion is that if you do not have a health concern, and then the best way is to live a healthy life with better diet, with constant exercise, stop smoking, and then try to eat healthy. Those are the things that you can do. Another important suggestion that I want to give is that here we're in Texas, or you're in any place, please wear your sunglasses, because UV can be really damaging to your eyes, both in the cataract, in the lens, as well as in the retina. So whenever you are driving or having fun outside, always wear sunglasses, even during the winter time, because the UV is always there.
Okay, well, I guess that would be good advice up north, too, because snow reflects the sunlight, too, and it's important to wear sunglasses then, I guess, whether we're in Texas or not.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Dr. Wu, we know that you were born in China, Beijing, and you worked diligently for many, many years, very, very hard, in order to finally be able to come to the United States. And I wanted to ask you about that. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. We're out of time for the first half hour, but if you'll come back in the second half hour, let's explore that a little more, okay? Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Armin Hammer, don't tell me it can't be done. Tell me how I can do it.